Tuesday, November 12th. First reading, St. Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 8 and 11 through 14. Beloved, you must say what is consistent with sound doctrine, namely that older men should be temperate, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, love, and endurance. Similarly, older women should be reverent in their behavior, not slanderers, not addicted to drink, teaching what is good, so that they may train younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, chaste, good homemakers, under the control of their husbands, so that the word of God may not be discredited. Urge the younger men, similarly, to control themselves, showing yourself as a model of good deeds in every respect, with integrity in your teaching, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be criticized, so that the opponent will be put to shame without anything bad to say about us. For the grace of God has appeared, saving all and training us to reject godless ways and worldly desires, and to live temperately, justly, and devoutly in this age, as we await the blessed hope, the appearance of the glory of the great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to deliver us from all lawlessness, and to cleanse for himself a people as his own, eager to do what is good. Haydock Commentary. It is not sufficient to teach sound doctrine, says St. Jerome, if it be not at the same time taught in a manner worthy of itself, that is, if he who teaches it by his words belies it in his actions. Regarding verse 3, older women should be reverent in their behavior, etc., the Greek word is sometimes used to signify the whole constitution or state of a person's health and all the parts of his body. Here it is taken for a woman's whole exterior carriage, her gait, gesture, looks, discourse, dress, that nothing appear but what is edifying. Regarding verse 4, love their husbands, etc., this is the first lesson he wishes to be given to young women, that they should always manifest a love, an attachment, respect, and obedience to their husbands, but it must be a chaste love. Regarding verse 12, to live temperately, justly, and devoutly in this age, etc., St. Jerome puts it as chastely, justly, and piously. The words comprehend man's duty to himself, to his neighbor, and towards God. The Gospel, Luke chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. Jesus said to the apostles, "Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at the table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished'? Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done what we were obliged to do.'" Haydock Commentary. The design and end of this parable is to show that, rigorously speaking, we are useless servants with regard to God. This sovereign master has a right to exact of us every kind of service and to make us apply ourselves to any task he may think proper without our having any reason to complain either of the difficulty, trouble, or length of our labors. We are entirely his, and he is master of our persons, time, and talents. We hold of him whatever we possess, and woe to us if we abuse his trust by applying our talents to any use contrary to his designs. But though he be Lord and Master, he leaves our liberty entire. If he produces in us holy desires, if he works in us meritorious actions, gives us virtuous inclinations and supernatural gifts, he sets to our account the good use we make of them, and in crowning our merits, he crowns his own gifts, as St. Augustine says. Regarding verse 10, unprofitable servants, we are unprofitable servants because our service is of no profit to our master, and he justly claims it as our bounden duty. But though we are unprofitable to him, our serving him is not unprofitable to us, for he is pleased to give, by his grace, a value to our good works, which, in consequence of his promise, entitles them to an eternal reward. The word useless, when joined to servant, generally means a servant from whom his master does not derive the service he has a right to expect. Here, the word is taken in a less odious sense. It means a servant who does not testify sufficient zeal and ardor in his master's service, who is not very eager to please him. With regard to God, we are always useless servants in this sense, because he wants not our services, and without his assistance, we can neither undertake nor finish anything to please him.